Ray and I had gone to tea at his parents on Sunday the 12th of October. I'd had a backache all day, but thought nothing of it. By the evening it had worsened, and I knew I was in labour, and it was time to go to the district hospital. Ray came with me and stayed a while, but I sent him home as he had to get up early for work. He wouldn't have been able to stay anyway, as it wasn't done in those days. Ray called in the morning on the way to work and was so thrilled when he saw his baby. It was a difficult labour, and Dr. Lewis had to come to assist the birth. He arrived wearing striped pyjamas under his coat, as it was during the early hours of the morning. When the baby was finally delivered, Dr. Lewis looked at her and said, "Rosin Saron," so Ray and I called her Sharon Julia Gunn. She was born at 4 o'clock Monday morning on the 13th of October 1969 and weighed 7 pounds 2 ounces. Her skin was so dark, she was so lovely. The love I felt for her was so overwhelming. Dr. Debrashen was my doctor, but he had to go to Aberystwyth Hospital because his own baby was being born at the same time. He came to see us the next day and took some photos. She was dressed in a long cotton nightie and a terry toweling nappy with a safety pin. The district hospital was a very homely place, and Sister Bainbridge looked after me. Sharon was the only baby there and was so spoiled by everyone. I couldn't sit very well because I had stitches, so Sister Bainbridge would sometimes feed her for me. I think she enjoyed it. The milk cow and gates came ready made up in small glass bottles and should have been given cold, but Sister Bainbridge would warm it up first. I stayed at the hospital for 10 days and had loads of visitors, but I couldn't wait to go home to Ray and show off my new baby in her silver cross pram that I had bought second hand. In those days it was the Rolls Royce of prams. 2 weeks after Sharon was born, we moved to a brand new council house, 9 miles Coed, Aberosan. I was so happy, it was really lovely inside. We made friends very quickly. My great aunt Maya lived at the bottom of the village in a tiny cottage called Penbonpren. I found out years later, while doing my family research, that my mum's father's family had lived here from at least 1787 in Penygraig and Rose Cottage. Beryl Thomas lived next door. We became close friends, and I also liked her sister-in-law, Valerie Hurd. Mrs. Rees lived across the road, very old-fashioned, and knew all the old remedies as they had to rely on them years ago. When Sharon was around 3 months old, she had terrible diarrhoea and a very sore bottom. The advice I had been given by the district nurse and doctor hadn't worked, so Mrs. Rees asked if she could help. She sent me down to Ashton's village shop to buy some suet and powdered starch. I was intrigued and rather anxious. Anyway, she mixed the suet with cow's milk and heated it, then poured it into Sharon's feeding bottle. I fed her, and by the next day it had worked. It was a miracle. As for the sore bottom, I was told to rub the powdered starch on it, and another miracle happened. It soon healed. I was so grateful to her. She was just like my grandmother Maggie. They called her Nurse Apentre, meaning the village nurse. Ray and I liked living at Aberosan, but it was up in the hills and he couldn't get to work on his push bike in the snow. His boss, Mr. Street at Marion Mill in Asmarwy, managed to get us another council house at Aberangech, so we moved again in the spring, and it was so sad leaving the place, especially the people. We moved to Fort Heilbyn Aberangech in April 1970 because it was closer to Ray's work at Marion Mill in Asmarwy. He still had to travel on his push bike as it was quite a few miles there. The money situation was pretty bad too, and Ray had to wrap rags around his bike tyres because he couldn't afford to buy new ones. We should really have stayed in Machynlleth. I could have worked somewhere in the evenings, and Ray would have had transport to work. But there weren't any council houses going at the time, and we certainly couldn't afford to buy one. Anyway, we couldn't see into the future, so we made the best of the situation. Ray's granny Chapman came to stay with us for a week. Sharon and I went back to Elsenham Hall, Essex, with her and Ray's mum for another week. We travelled on a coach. It was crowded and very hot, but I'm glad I went. Ray's grandparents had worked there since they were married. He was a gardener and she was a housekeeper. Living in Aberanget was very difficult, so Ray went and joined the Air Force on Sharon's first birthday, 13th of October 1970. I had begged him not to go, but he said this was the only way to make a better future for us. I didn't want to leave Wales for my family. Ray went away for his training at Swinderby, and the villagers thought he had left me. My sister Jen and her little boy Duncan came to stay with me for a while. I went back to work at the clothing factory while Jen looked after Sharon for me. Duncan and Sharon were great friends, and everything worked out okay. Jen's boyfriend and I would call often, and I looked after Duncan for them to go out in the evenings. I gave up work later on because Sharon became very ill with croup. I was extremely worried about her. It was just like whooping cough. I would have to boil the kettle in her bedroom to create steam to help her breathe, and luckily she didn't have to go to hospital. Sharon recovered well, and on the 22nd of October 1970 she actually started to walk. It was a pity that Ray wasn't there to see it. I was writing to him every day as I missed him terribly. I still have all our love letters. They are kept in a special box that Sharon bought for me. I think Ray was wondering sometimes what on earth he had done, because he missed us too. Jen eventually married Di and they went to live at Llanfachlet, Dolgellau, so Sharon and I went back to live with my parents at Kynos to wait for Ray to finish his training. On the 11th of March 1971, Sharon and I moved in with my parents at 13 Isle of Bryn, Kynos, the house where I had grown up in. My mum was still working at the clothing factory and I would cook and clean for her and Dad. Sometimes I was invited over to my friend's house, Penny, for supper, and I also bought a pine chest from her for £5. It was to be Sharon's toy box, and I still have it today. While I was at my parents', my mum's sister, Auntie Ira, and her husband, Uncle Barry, came to visit, and they took Sharon and I back to Leicester with them for a holiday. I had a great time. Uncle Barry cooked a paella dish. I had never eaten it before, but I really enjoyed it. Auntie Ira let me sew some trousers for Sharon on her electric sewing machine. They were very kind to us and I shall never forget them. I had to travel back to Kynos on a train on my own with Sharon, and that was quite worrying, but I made it. I was really missing Ray a lot. It was lovely when he came home on leave to see us, and some weekends my sister Anne came home too. She was a police cadet, and it would be a very busy time doing all their washing, ready to go back on Sunday evening. My other sister Alison was getting married to Emir, and I was busy sewing the curtains for her house at Abertlemenny. Sian, my little sister, would take Sian for a walk to give me some peace. After a few weeks, Di asked if I would like to go and stay with them at Llanfachlet. Jen was expecting her second child, and Duncan was missing Sharon. So I was on the move again, just like a gypsy. I so longed to have my own place and be with Ray again, but I kept telling myself it can't be that far away now. Sharon and I moved to Llanfachlet on the 4th of May 1971 to stay with Jen and Di for a while. It was a lovely little village. Before you reach the house, there is a large building called Nanai Hall, and since doing my family history, I discovered that my ancestor, Meirig Vychan, on my mum's side, lived there around 1300. His effigy is in Dolgelli Church, and it was quite a shock to find out that I was related to someone so important. I was happier living at Llanfachlet, but by now I was expecting my second baby and suffering terribly with morning sickness. It lasted 4 months. Ray and I were looking forward to another child and hoped for a little boy to complete our little family. We weren't sure whether he or she would be born in Wales or England. Di couldn't get over me writing to Ray every day, and the postman would pull my leg at the village post office. One morning, the letter I had longed for came, and I couldn't be happier. We had been apart for 7 months. It seemed as it had been forever.